Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Without a nice chat with this guest, he swings the fangirls' hearts and shows like Orin High School Host Club. And Free, he brings the laughs in Sergeant Frog, Hitalia, and Space Dandy. Delivers the smarts and spice of Wolf and Yerli Kuma Arashi. And some kick-ass action in My Hero Academia, Black Butler, and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. For a man who was fooled into voice acting, his talents always seems to pool in naturally. Please welcome back to 101, Mr. J. Michael Tatum. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me back. It wouldn't be AAC if I wasn't
sitting
here with
you. It wouldn't be AAC without you.
It's kind of a tradition.
It's kind of like you're kind of becoming the mayor. You're kind of being like the mayor of AAC, like Greg Ayers is becoming the mayor of Anime Boston.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that. Greg can take Boston, I'll take Manchester.
Yeah, it's a nice little quiet area where you can get up to some roundness.
Postcard picture, beautiful fall weather, which we don't get back home in Texas.
Yes, I remember we talked about that last time.
Yeah.
So how has 2017 been treating you?
Good, you know, with the advent of everything Funimation does, going simuldub for the most part, things have been good, been very breakneck, very high speed, which is awesome, because it just means you're all over the place. As a writer, I'm writing all, or adapting all the time, and going into the booth all the time, and you know, it's a lot of cons this year. Yeah, it's been a busy year so far. It's kind of hard to believe it's been a year.
It's a huge contrast, because I remember when we first chatted back in 2010, I want to say, or 2010 at Anime Boston. It was like, you know, anime was still trying to find the voice actors and trying to get as many roles as possible, and now it's just like, we got all these shows to do, we got all these summerdumps to do, we got plenty of jobs for everybody.
Yeah, it's crazy how things have changed. Like, I feel like anime, especially dubs, have really come into their own in the past few years. But having to do with simuldubs, I think a lot of it has to do with just the speed with which it comes out now. Yeah. We are dub actors are frequently the first performance in an anime that the fans will hear.
Right.
Because it comes out within days of the show being released in Japan, which is also great because it kind of cuts into the piracy thing.
Right. Exactly.
It's less of a window for pirates to come down and start spreading the dubs or the illegal subs.
I know it doesn't stop them all the way, but it slows them down.
It does slow them down. And it takes the wind out of their sails, and it's also just fun because from my point of view as an actor and as an active writer, I feel we're collaborating more with the Japanese studios because we work with them and they kind of keep us in the loop what's going on. Because, I mean, I think we've been through this before, but I used to get about a week, maybe 2 weeks to write a script, 23-minute episode script. And now I have about 48 hours, give or take.
Wow.
because holy that's crap. Just the turnaround time. And you know, I couldn't. No one would expect me to do that if I hadn't been doing this for as many years as I have. You know, so that kind of comes with. It's like it was kind of the natural progression.
Right. It's kind of like you're trying to match like the syllable count with the Japanese and try to fit that into English.
Basically, and then kind of localize it in English. You know, because the Japanese and English are so differently, and they just in a dramatic context they work so differently. Yeah. But it's cool now, as I feel so like it's. I'm discovering the show as I write it. In the old days, I would watch the entire show and start to finish and then start the adaptation process with episode one, knowing full well what was in episode 12 or 26. And now I'm kind of like, oh, I don't really know. Like while I'm writing episode or adapting episode one, they're animating episode two. and then they'll tell us. So it's kind of, you know, I feel kind of along for the ride in a way, which I think also connects us to the fan base because we're like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen next week. Let's find, you know,
absolutely.
It's super fun.
And you were kind of like part of the whole guinea pig process of the whole Silent Dub thing.
That's
because
true.
One of the first ones was Space Dandy where you played Dr. Gel.
Right.
So like my question is like, how hard was it to try to get into a character that you yourself weren't quite familiar with?
Well, honestly, as far as that's concerned, that didn't really change much. Because most, when voice actors go in to do dubs or video games or whatever, we have very little to go on. It's I've been acting since I was 9 years old in every conceivable medium. And stage, of course, you have a lot of time and you have the script ahead of time way in it. But you know, you learn your lines and you have weeks and weeks of rehearsal. With the cast and you're in front of a live audience. When you're a voice actor, you go in, you're not recording with anybody else, you're completely isolated. You're often the first one to record, so you're not even acting off of someone else's recorded performance.
Right.
You're kind of performing in a vacuum. And so you learn very quickly, it's sink or swim in that environment. Either you go in and you kind of go, okay, I can get my head around this and kind of, you know, I can imaginatively support myself so this can feel real for me even though all the outward trappings aren't there. And or I can just kind of be like, I can't. A lot of stage actors can't make that transition because
right.
they're used to a lot more support than voice actors have because we work so quickly. So for me, going in to do something like Dr. Gel, where they're like, yeah, this is going to be different week to week. You're going to have to be on call. You may have 8 lines next week. You may have 100. You don't know. Just be around.
Right.
So we had to sign contracts.
Even be in the episode
to, we had to sign contracts for the season to make sure that we were in town available to record because we wouldn't know what our line count or our hours would be until the next episode came in. So they're like, please, everyone that's cast, just stay in town between now and December. And so that was different, but as far as getting into character, like, nothing really changed for us in the actors, except we just wouldn't necessarily know where the show was going, but we usually wouldn't. You know, there wasn't, if you were a writer, yes, but
yes.
But if I didn't stop working on a show that I wasn't writing, I'd have no idea, and the director may not tell you because they don't want you to know. They'd be like, oh, okay. We're going to let you discover it as you go so we get more a visceral, more true-to-life reaction to the material.
Now, one of the running gags in the show of Space Dandy was that no one knew exactly why Dr. Gel was going after Space Dandy. So while you were recording the show, did you have like your own theories as to what he must have done to him?
Yeah, it wasn't personal. Like, he's going after him because Space Dandy's representing. He's sort of the
he's the Rick Sanchez.
Well, he's definitely... He's kind of the... The Leroy Jenkins, you know, he's going through the universe doing these crazy things and all. He's just a person of interest in the sense that everywhere he goes, something happens that shouldn't happen. And the powers that be are very much, we need to keep an eye on this guy. Mm. They're like, we're not really sure. So Dr. Gel is kind of just, he's basically hired to go after this guy because we don't like him. Something is weird.
Right.
Time and space bends
around. But like, you never knew that until probably like the last couple episodes. Like, there was this part of me that was watching and was like, what if he did like something really stupid? Like, he stole his parking space, and ever since that time, he's swore vengeance on him.
No, I don't think it was never that. He was after him as a functionary because he was told, like, this guy is weird. And I think because he had such trouble finding him, it became personal. But it was like, I don't, because he and Gel don't even really meet.
No, they don't.
Spoilers, until toward the end. And even then, you know, that ending, like, who knows? You know,
it's just crazy.
It was super fun. True story. So in the last episode, when the Sable Dump was airing of the final episode, I was at a con. And normally Ian Sinclair, Danny, would have a party over at his house for every episode. He was very proud of it. And I couldn't make it because I was at a con. And I was like, ah, damn it. And so I was having a great time. And it just so happened that Dandy's Seiyu was at that particular con, and I came up to me and was like, well, with his team of translators, and we're talking for a little bit about the show, and I was like, I have to do this. So I took a selfie and shot it back to Ian and was like, look, Dandy, I found you. And he was like, no! I'm like, yeah, I guess you should be at this con.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's also on a really cute
cute note. So my partner's name is Brandon.
Yeah.
And when he would, and I call him B all the time because that's just one of our nicknames. That was totally before this became a thing. Before Danny became a thing, and so every time he would say B in the show, Brandon and I would be watching it together, and he'd be like,
"That's me you're talking to."
I love Micah Solisad's performance as B. He's such a little badass. Yeah, I hate the guy, but he's such a little badass.
Yes.
Micah's one of my favorite actors in this business, actually. Yeah. I always love working with him.
Yeah. So, of course, one of the most popular roles right now of yours, who keeps coming back sometimes, has got to be Sebastian of Black Butler. The role that makes all the girls swoon.
We'll never be rid of him. We call him You-Know-Who in our house. We don't even refer to him by name anymore. We're like, You-Know-Who.
Right. So I'm gonna ask the same question I asked Rena Palencia when she did the voice of Ciel. Was it hard to not try to Dick Van Dyke the accent?
No, actually, it's very easy to not want to Dick Van Dyke anything. I love Dick Van Dyke, but when you see, you know, hello, Mary Poppins, you're like, yeah, that's no one's idea of sexy. All respect to anyone from England who's like, what are you talking about? My boyfriend sounds not like that. I have a thing with British accents. I love British accents, and there's, you know, Britain is such a culturally rich country that you can't go 5 feet without running into a different dialect. And so Sebastian's accent is its own thing. It's an artificial accent. No one in England is really born speaking like that. That's what's called received pronunciation. So you might start life talking like this, and then someone would be like, no, go to finishing school, and then they would teach you how to speak like this, you know, sort of like Pygmalion or My Fair Lady, you know, the rain and the pain, falls me in the pain. Where you start out with, hello! So, you know, like, just imagine Sebastian, like, having that, yes, my lord! Well, this is so really, yeah, you can't do it.
I know one of the characters in the show kind of does have that accent.
Yes, and that's, he's a cook for a reason.
Right. He is. Now, I know you've been to London a couple times. Have you tried to sneak in and try to, like, blend in with the accent, or no?
Oh, yeah, but every time I go somewhere, so when I'm here in the States, I do British all the time, just because people will listen to you. And, like, I could say anything in a British accent, and they'll be like, oh my. And suddenly you have everyone's attention, where I can just be like, hey, guys, what's going on? And they don't care.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hello, how are you? And they go, oh.
It's like Charlize Theron's character in Arrested Development, where she was speaking in a British accent. People thought she was smart. No, she was just really an idiot.
Right, yeah, everything sounds smart when you say it with that sort of accent. You know? But it's great. You can say really, really horrible things. And people will be like, oh, yeah.
It's why they can say the C word over there with no problem.
Oh, God, I would pay money to get Sebastian to say that word.
I'm sure you can find a way to do that.
I'm sure.
This is a blooper, I read.
Well, it's funny, I was in Sheffield just recently, which is a beautiful, beautiful countryside out there. It's really gorgeous. Like, it's when you think of, like, British... When you think of, like, where Robin Hood must have roamed, like, that's the rolling hills and the cliffs with the sheep that can stand, like, diagonally on the rock, because that's just what they're made to do. Like, that place was amazing. But the accent there is so different. And so I'd have all these British people going, do your British accent, because they just want to hear my freak show of an accent to them. They're like, go, do it, what are you doing? The accent, you know, it's a northern, that's all northern Manchester, that's all Sheffield accent, it's very...
You're sounding like a grime rapper right now, by the way.
Well, that's sort of, I think that may be the origin of the accent. No, but they're very, you know, they're very open, they're very long vowel sounds, and they don't, you know, like, there's certain, like, TH comes out like an F. So, you know, it's fun to do that accent, but it took me forever to, like, not want to imitate it. Because when I hear an accent, I just start talking to people in accents, and I'm like, I'm terribly sorry. True story, I went to Montreal.
Oh my God, Canadian accents are so much fun to
well,
do.
Well, so Quebecois is French Canada. And the first time I went there, I was like, okay, I'm going to brush up on my French, because I'm fluent enough. But I haven't spoken in a long time, so I'm going to try to brush up on my French to go. And I got off the plane, and my handler, who was wonderful, was like, you know, bienvenue, monsieur Tenon, and I'm like, and my first ridiculous instinct was to just, I just blanked on all my French, and instead of actually speaking French, I just started speaking to her in a French accent, hearing, going, thank you for having me, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And So yeah, you have to be careful with accents, is the moral of that story, kids.
Alright, so they're kind of rushing us right now. So I guess my final question I want to ask you, and it's about a recent show that you got, that you just did for 2017. I can imagine how much fun it must have been doing a show like Saga of Tanya the Evil.
Oh yeah.
Because we might be out here in spirit.
I think the scene between our characters in that last episode is one of my proudest moments in my career. Just because I love working off of Monica. Monica's one of the best actors in this business, period. She's also just a lovely person, but like she had so much fun with that role. And I love the show, but I don't have much to do in it. You know, I'm just kind of there in the background being terribly worried.
Right.
just my job.
Exactly.
But they have this really intense, subtle back and forth. And Jeremy Inman, the show's voice director, was really, like, he really wanted to kind of craft the dialogue and the sort of the music of it for us. And it was really great. So I feel... I look at that and I just feel like it sounds like we were in the same room recording a scene and, you know, together, like, on stage. It was wonderful. So much fun. Such a great show, too.
It is an excellent show, and I highly recommend all my listeners to watch it. I know it seems it seems like it's a really evil program. It is, but it's so damn good.
No, it's great. It's great. It's dark, but it's awesome.
Oh, man. I love it. For me, I can't wait for it to come out of the way. That's going to be a day one purchase for me.
Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Tatum, thank you so much for joining us here on 1&1. We'll be sure to have you again next year. I know we have a lot of questions that we didn't get to, but maybe next year we will totally get to them.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I'll always be here, you know. Eventually I'll just buy a place.
Yes. You're the mayor of this town.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.